Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. This week's agility challenge tip, tip number 20, is good news for those of you who are training mostly alone. According to Daniel Coyle, the author of The Little Book of Talent, which serves as the source material for all of these agility challenge tips, training solo is the way to go. He says that practicing solo is the best way to, number one, seek out the sweet spot at the edge of your ability that I've talked about in previous challenge tips, and number two, develop discipline because it doesn't depend on others. So if you're only going out to practice and train when your friends are available, then you're not going to probably go out and practice and train as much as you would if you were just going alone because it's your habit, because you've developed a discipline to do it, so on and so forth. Coyle cites a classic study of musicians where world-class performers were compared to top amateurs. And the researchers found that the two groups were actually pretty similar in every practice variable except one. The world-class performers, they spent five times as many hours practicing alone. Not necessarily five times as many practice hours total, but five times as many practice hours practicing by themselves. Of course, dog training is for many of us, myself included, a social activity, and that's great, and that's totally fine. Training with friends has a lot of benefits. Emotional support, camaraderie, another set of eyes on you and your dog to tell you what's happening when you blink, like having a coach. Because otherwise you're watching your dog intently, of course, but maybe not knowing what happens when you're doing a blind cross, for example, or maybe not as aware of your own footwork as you could be. But don't for one moment think that if most of your training is done alone, you're missing out or falling behind. The vast majority of my own training is done alone, and it's pretty rare that I have a training partner other than my own dogs. While I prefer to have others around, and when it comes time to work on tough courses and sequences, which are soft skills, and if you're not sure what a soft skill is versus a hard skill, check out the previous challenge tip on that. But so while I prefer to have others around when I'm working on tough courses or sequences or soft skills, I much prefer to work on my own when it comes to training, particularly those hard skills. And by hard skill, I mean those mechanical skills, training verbals or training mechanical skills. I'm more focused, I'm less distracted, and I can be more flexible with the decisions I make and the direction I go in a given training session in order to stay at that sweet spot at the edge of my and my dog's abilities. Training requires lots of decision making. And if you're distracted, those decisions are not going to be your best decisions. And it's going to be tough to make those decisions as rapidly and as fluidly as you need to do. And so for this reason, training alone can be miles away better than training with the distraction of another person around. Certainly, training alone requires discipline. But once you make a habit of it, and remember, training a few minutes a day or snack training is way better than binge training or training for just an hour a week. So once you've made it a habit to train just a few minutes a day, then training alone can be very productive. I love this quote by Anson Dorrance, the North Carolina women's soccer coach. And the quote is, "The vision of a champion is someone who is bent over, drenched in sweat, at the point of exhaustion, when no one is looking." Now, for dog training, you're not likely to be bent over, drenched in sweat at the point of exhaustion, unless you're working on your sprint training so that you can keep up with your dog. But the training that we do can be mentally taxing for sure. Holding ourselves accountable to stay sharp, to stay focused, and to stay in that sweet spot at the edge of our abilities when we're alone is important. It's not what happens in class each week during that 1 or 2 hour period of time. It's what happens when you're alone, at home, in your backyard or your training space or your basement, by yourself, with your dog, working on the things that you've set out to work on with purpose. I hope you've enjoyed this agility challenge tip. Go ahead and leave a comment below. Let me know what you think. If you're training alone like me, or if you're training with other people, how do you stay focused with the distraction of other people around? That's it for this week's tip. I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer, so make sure you check it out.